This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. New Narrative is an online journalism platform and independent media outlet which tells stories that empower Southeast Asians to take action for positive change. Independent, ad-free, and pro-democracy, the outlet publishes investigative reporting, academic research, comics, explainers, videos, and podcasts in English, Bahasa, and also other languages of Southeast Asia. So today on the show, I'm going to catch up with the founder and managing director, Dr. Thumping Jin, and also Deborah Augustine, who is New Narrative's Membership Engagement Manager. And Deborah is also the Malaysian lead. And we're going to find out about what New Narrative stands for and also how they are aiming to keep their work 100% independent. Welcome, both of you. How are you today?
Thanks for having us, Juliet. I'm very well.
Thanks. Thanks for having us, Juliet. Yes, I have to apologize if there's any background noise. I've just moved to Manila. And so I am talking to you from the balcony of our new rented home. And so there's going to be a lot of community around. I apologize in advance if there's any noise that disrupts this call.
Not at all. It's lovely. Adds character. So, I mean, congratulations moving to Manila. And of course, PJ, you're no stranger to BFM. Gosh, we did that whole History of Singapore podcast, 50 over episodes, back in the day. So it's lovely to have you back on the show.
Yeah, good times. Those were good times.
Yes.
Hopefully we can do it again one day.
Yeah, definitely. But now, of course, you've got your hands busy with New Narrative, and you launched that back in 2017, if I'm not mistaken. Can you take me back to the start? You know, why did you want to start this? Why did you see a need for a platform like New Narrative?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Juliet. So New Narrative really was founded to answer a question that I got a lot, which was I was talking to a lot of people who were very frustrated by how things were changing around them, and they were unable to make a difference at all in the political situation or the world around them. And people kept asking me, what can I do? And so New Narrative was my answer to that question, because I perceived that there was a gap between good, reliable information about the world around us and being able to take action. So in founding New Narrative, I basically wanted to first produce information, stories, which were evidence-based, which were about the important issues that faced ordinary Southeast Asians like you and I, and then provide a pathway for people to empower themselves, whether it's through reading the information or taking part in our democracy classrooms, our workshops, our Sekolah Democracy, which we run in Malaysia, and then coming together in a community to be able to create positive change where they are. So New Narrative is more than just a media organization. We produce stories, as you said, that empower people to create positive change.
Okay, and I know that you use, I've read in previous articles, that you use three approaches to achieve your goals, right? And what are those three approaches?
Yeah, so basically, New Narrative, right, the process we follow is that first we produce information, evidence-based information about the important forces that shape the world around us, often unseen forces. We produce investigative reporting, we produce information about important issues, we produce information on things that governments don't want us to know, establishment interests don't want us to know, in order to promote democracy, right? So that's the first thing. And then with that information, we help empower you. So the second step is empowerment, where you take that information, you learn, you grow. So as part of empowerment, we also have our workshops, our democracy classrooms. So it's not just about the information, but how to use that then to create change. And then the third thing is really centered around community, taking action, because we're strong believers in collective action. Together, we can progress a lot further than if we go alone. So we try and bring people together in our community, whether it's through our Discord, online, our events in particular, so that people can connect with other like-minded people in Southeast Asia who want to create change, and through that, collectively take action to make Southeast Asia better.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you described it, right, you're telling stories that the government does not want told, right? I mean, in essence, that's kind of what it is about. It's stuff that will not appear in other media, right? You wanted to fill that gap. So I'm also guessing, and actually we know for a fact that New Narrative hasn't had an easy time because of some of the stories that you publish and some of the things that you talk about. I know that last year, you know, you were called in for questioning by the Singapore Police Force because the Elections Department actually launched a report against you, right? Tell me about that. You know, what exactly happened there?
Yes, I mean, that was absolutely ridiculous because New Narrative had produced all this really strong, powerful information through our research, our stories, our Citizens Agenda project, which really unpacked a lot of the forces shaping Singapore's People's Action Party and our governance. And the problem, I think, for the PAP was they couldn't go after us over these stories, this information, this research, because it was all accurate, right? So instead, they basically trumped up this crazy charge that because we put posts on Facebook and then boosted them, therefore, we were somehow in violation of election advertising laws. And this was not only ludicrous in and of itself, but the fact is that government-owned media all put stories on media on Facebook and boosted them during the election. And the Asia One, for example, boosted 150 stories during the election. We boosted a total of like 13. And yet somehow the Elections Department decides to lodge a police report against us and not against Asia One, a government-controlled media outfit. Why? Because we had a major impact on that last election, and I feel that we actually were able to sway the election results to a certain degree. And the feedback that we got afterwards was that people read our articles, they came to our workshops, discussion groups, they learned so much about the People's Action Party, about the state of Singapore politics and the issues and the policies, and that really helped them decide how to vote. And of course, the PAP lost an unprecedented 10 seats at the last election through the GRCs and through the, you know, and then more were added on through the non-constituency system. So they face an unprecedented amount of opposition within Parliament. So I think part of this was also score settling against an organization which was able to counter their narratives and misinformation very effectively.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember reading at the time that, you know, the investigations against you, the questioning that you went through, you found it very disquieting. What is happening now with that investigation? Is it still ongoing? I know at the time you hadn't even gotten your laptop back, which had been seized. How are things going in that regard?
Yes, well, the investigation has not been concluded. And as we predicted at the time, it will not be concluded for a while more. The pattern that the Singapore's PAP government has against activists, against pro-democracy or opposition figures is to launch these ludicrous investigations by filing a police report, and then the police interrogate you, they raid your home, they take your laptop, your electronic devices, and then they hold this over you for a year, 18 months, so that you're unable to progress on with your life, that you have this investigation constantly lurking over you, and then they might call you in for more rounds of interrogation, as they did with me this past March. They brought me in for a second round and didn't ask me anything that was relevant at all to the investigation. So the first time in September was four and a half hours, second time in March was another 3 hours, and to date, they haven't concluded the investigation at all, and it's still pending. And I think if previous investigations are anything to go by, this will go on for another 5-6 months at least. And this way, they can legally harass you, right? Basically, if there's an investigation ongoing under the Singapore laws, which are so broad, which give the police incredibly, incredibly broad powers, they can make your life pretty miserable. And that's the goal. And so at the end of it, they'll probably just give me a warning or something. And then if anyone complains about this whole process, they'll say, hey, you know, what are you complaining about? He was let off in the end. He wasn't charged. You know, it's all good. But what people don't realize, it's that 12 to 18 months where they make your life miserable by using the regulations of the law against you that really make you suffer and send the message of how unhappy the PAP government is with you.
Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear that you went through that and you're continuing to go through that. But all said and done, you are still continuing with New Narrative. You're not giving up on what you believe in. And since its start, of course, New Narrative has grown so much, hasn't it? You've got people like Deborah on your team as well. Deborah, maybe you can chime in now. Tell me about the role that you play within New Narrative. Tell me how the team has expanded since it first began.
Yeah, I joined in late 2018. And I came in as membership engagement manager. And, I really didn't have a background in that. In fact, not many people did because my job is a relatively new one in the media landscape. Membership models are a very new addition to the media industry. And so I've been figuring out my role as I've gone along. And I'm happy to now have several people on the team to support me. So I have Yipeng, who is my community manager in the team, and I have Eric, who is my marketing manager. And the three of us together now work together to create community events. We create marketing plans, and we talk about the feedback that I've gotten from members and how we can improve New Narrative together. So yeah, our team has expanded, and I think we are in a really good place to really bring New Narrative to its full potential, to transform information to action, which is the goal of New Narrative. And yeah, I'm also, my role has also expanded. So I'm membership engagement manager, and I'm also Malaysia lead. And as Malaysia lead, I lend some advice to the editorial team about what we should be covering in Malaysia. And yeah, so I had a wonderful time learning and growing in this role as membership engagement manager, and also getting to play some part in the editorial process.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And PJ, tell me about how, you sort of thought about how you wanted the team to expand. I mean, is it everything you're hoping is kind of going in the trajectory that you kind of hoped for as well?
Oh, yes, very much so. I mean, Deborah was one of my earliest hires because we started out and still are a membership-supported organization where we hope one day that we will fund ourselves entirely from membership revenue and don't need to rely on grants or donations. As you mentioned earlier, we don't do advertising and we don't have other traditional forms of income, but we want to be entirely focused on members. So Deborah was a very early hire because I recognized the importance of this, and she's been magnificent in the role and has really, grown and adapted and led us in ways that I never anticipated. And also her research, right? She talks to members regularly. She runs surveys to understand how they're thinking, what they want, and we then adapt what we do accordingly, right? So in addition to that, we have people who work very much on events. We have Yipeng, for example, whom Deborah mentioned. And then we also have our editorial team, of course. And that has evolved a lot over the years. But one of the issues that we're facing with the editorial team is that they're still all entirely part-time, unfortunately, which is astonishing given that all the outputs, right, the fantastic investigative journalism that we produce, for example, we just had this fantastic piece that was a collaboration that was multinational, cross-border on and disappearances of Cambodia activists in Thailand. All of that is through a part-time team. So, that is something that we actually really need to build on. And then also we have a growing internally, we have a very strong operations team, we have an advocacy team, right? So we are growing in all these different areas that really help transform what we, as I mentioned the process earlier, people, our members, from learning and empowering into action. And the trajectory, yeah, it's pretty much what I hoped for. But as I mentioned, the editorial team is part-time. And the other thing that I need to acknowledge as founder, managing director, is that everyone's underpaid. The average salary of the team is just $1,000 US a month, which is not enough given that we have a team who are doing really stressful work and really important work, but also very mentally unhealthy work, right? Activism is a very dangerous business in Southeast Asia. My team gets threatened. We have, have had correspondents arrested, thrown in jail, beaten up. And I really want to be able to pay them a fair and living wage. And actually, to be honest, I want to pay myself a fair and living wage because I have not been able to draw a salary in 3 years. So this is why we're having this fundraiser at the moment. And this is something that I really want to emphasize to the people of Southeast Asia, that if you want good, reliable, evidence-based news, please do join and support and become a member of New Narrative and other organizations which are producing this news, right? If you don't pay for good news, someone else is going to pay for it, and that other person or organization, probably an establishment interest, will influence it in ways which are not conducive to democracy. So if you want good, reliable news, you have to be willing to pay for it. And New Narrative is only $52 a year. It's $1 a week. So, yeah.
Okay, all right. And we're going to find out more about the fundraiser after this quick break. I'm speaking to Dr. Tan Ping Jin. He's the Managing Director and Founder of New Narrative. I'm also joined by Deborah Augustine, who's the Membership Engagement Manager, and she's also the Malaysia Lead for New Narrative. And we're finding out more about the work that New Narrative does. New Narrative is, of course, a digital platform which sees itself as a movement for democracy, freedom of speech, and freedom of information in Southeast Asia. And we're going to come back and find out how you can support them after this quick break. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today are Dr. Tan Ping Jin and Deborah Augustine. PJ, as he's also known, is the Managing Director and Founder of New Narrative. Deborah is the Membership Engagement Manager. She's also the Malaysian Lead for New Narrative. And New Narrative is an online journalism platform. It's an independent media outlet, and it tells stories that empower Southeast Asians to take action for positive change. So they are an independent, ad-free, and pro-democracy outlet. They publish investigative reports, all sorts of things, academic research, comics, explainers, so many things, videos, podcasts, and also in several languages of Southeast Asia. And we're finding out more about the work that they do and also how they're aiming, actually, to keep their work 100% independent. So just before the break, PJ, you were telling us about how difficult it is, how draining it is, especially for all your correspondents, for the work that they do, because, again, you tell stories that governments don't really want published, right? Maybe Deborah, you can jump in here. Tell me a little bit about, the sort of impact it has on contributors, doing the kind of work that you do. PJ got called in for questioning by the Singapore Police Force. How do you, plan for these sorts of things? How do you sort of manage them as well?
Yeah, I think that kind of planning goes into a lot of different ways that we operate. So, sometimes it's threats towards the members of the team. So like PJ, we knew that he was going in for questioning. Luckily, we had some notice, so we were able to implement our security protocols. This is something that we've only had in, say, the last 2 years. We've only developed security protocols in the last 2 years. So things like, kicking PJ out of group chats ahead of his police questioning, making sure that any chats between him and other team members were cleared so that they wouldn't be available to the police if they seized his phone, making sure that his permissions were taken away from the website or, other software that we use so that our operations wouldn't become vulnerable if the police decided to seize his laptop, which is what ended up happening. And then, of course, we also had to strategize on how we told the public. We had to prepare a statement. We had to reach out to our network and say, our managing director and founder is about to be questioned by the police. We would really appreciate solidarity from you. And, we were very lucky to get lots of solidarity from scholars, from press advocates and journalists, and our members as well, importantly. Our members, also were tweeting their support, sharing their support on social media, and that they, were against this kind of intimidation from the Singaporean government. So, but all that takes planning, and it is stressful as well. And it's important to remember, as PJ said, this is an ongoing situation. So, everybody also needs some kind of psychosocial support after the event. So after the questioning, team members need counseling or we need as a group to come together and debrief and support each other, because it's stressful to know that, you know, a team member might be questioned, and we have to do kind of contingency planning and imagine the worst possible outcome. And so, you know, in that situation with PJ being questioned, the worst possible scenario is that he would be charged and actually have to go through a court case. And so all of that is quite stressful on the team, and we have to provide psychosocial support for the team members as well. That's part of our holistic security, is ensuring that people get access to therapy, to support from each other, so that we can sustainably do this work. Because if you don't take care of the emotional side, the mental health side of this work, you can't do it for the long term. So, you know, we consider that part of our security planning too. And so that's one aspect of contingency planning and security planning. But we also think about how we can take care of the security of our contributors if we're publishing a piece about something sensitive. You know, perhaps in Malaysia, that could be an article about migrants and refugees. You know, how are we protecting both our contributors, the sources, and our team members, you know, who may be on the receiving end of xenophobic tweets because they are the ones taking care of the social media. So all of that is part of the security planning that we have to do. And it can be exhausting. It also costs money. You know, things like VPNs cost money. We also have to take time out of our schedules to do some of this training, learning how to encrypt our emails or keep our data secure, things like that. So it's all time and money, but I think it's worth it because it does mean that our work is that much more sustainable when we take those steps to be more secure and safe.
Can I just echo what Deborah said? Because people often think about security in a very physical way, but psychosocial security is so important. And I want to shout out operations manager, Chua Min Si, who this is really her baby, and she really developed this and built this in the organization and brought this whole dimension to it that is so important and really helps us as an organization. And I want to encourage anyone else who's doing this kind of work to really think about that aspect. You know, it's so easy to overlook. We want activists to be, you know, there's this whole, like, I guess, I don't know, macho, bravado, whatever, but psychosocial security, right? Your mental health is so important, and I really want to emphasize the importance of that.
Mm-hmm. And I think we've all seen how the pandemic has, you know, doubly affected that. Everyone is struggling, right? And, you know, on top of that, like you said, your contributors, you guys, you know, receive threats, all because you want to tell the truth, right? That's always the unfortunate truth about these sorts of situations. But I mean, you know, you're doing wonderful work, and you are, of course, fundraising because you'd like to remain independent. You know, there's no question that you don't want ads, you don't want to, you know, impact the integrity of the model in any way, right? So it's based on endowments, donations, and membership fees. PJ sort of alluded to it just now before the break, but I know there's an ongoing fundraiser at the moment. Tell me what you're aiming for right now.
Yeah, this is our biggest fundraiser to date. So we have an ambitious goal to raise more than $200,000. That's our sort of grand total that we would like to reach. And we do have checkpoints. So we have around $186,000, which would allow us to bring on the editorial team full time. And we'd like to ideally get there. But $236,000 will allow us to have those extra things that are actually quite important, like psychosocial support for the team. And yeah, I think, you know, we are aiming to be 100% membership funded, because we really believe that membership funded media is the future. It's the way to keep media independent. I mean, you know, advertising has been an unsustainable way of making money for media, especially with how algorithms change. You may not be able to promise the kind of web traffic that advertisers will be attracted to. And if a government blocks your website, there goes your advertising revenue as well, which is a real threat in Southeast Asia. You know, it's happened to media outlets in Malaysia before. And, you know, the other way is also that we want to remain independent of what an advertiser may want to influence the editorial outputs of New Narrative. But really, and we see membership as the most sustainable way, because if people care about the product and they support it, you know, I think that's a better way of funding your media outlet than through selling the data of your users. And that's what we really believe. You know, I mean, I got an email like a month ago from a media outlet saying, you know, we'll provide our user data to you as an advertiser. It was like in my promotions folder. And I was like, wow, okay. So like they actually, some media companies are actually advertising their readers and users' information as an asset that people can buy from them. And we don't do that. We respect our members' privacy, you know, and we would never sell our member data to anyone. All the member research I do is 100% for internal use to make New Narrative better. It's a relatively new model in Southeast Asia. We have 30% of our income coming from membership, which is actually on the high side for membership-funded media outlets, but we'd like to make it higher. We want to be one of the outliers in the media industry where we're able to have more than 30% of our income come from membership. And of course, the other, you know, we rely on donations and grants, and we are still accepting donations in this round of fundraising, but that's also not a sustainable source of income, and we know that. And part of us wanting to raise this huge amount of money is because we think that this is what will give us our best shot of really being sustainable, because, you know, having our editorial team part-time is just not something we can continue to do and put out quality features. So that's really what this fundraising drive is about. It's really about getting us to a place where we can do the best possible job for our members and reach sustainability.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, continue to provide journalism with integrity, you know, which speaks about democracy, freedom of information, freedom of speech, you know, uphold all those principles. I do know that you are also having some events, right, in conjunction with the fundraising. This is happening next week, if I'm not mistaken. What have you got planned? How can people join?
Yeah, we have a screening of To Singapore with Love on the 18th of June at 8 p.m. Malaysia time and Singapore time. And it's a banned film in Singapore. It's a little cheeky. I thought it would be a little cheeky to organize, you know, a banned film, a banned media outlet in Singapore. I think. So, yeah, we'll be screening To Singapore with Love. And we'll be doing a Q&A with Tan Pin Pin, who is the director, and some representatives from the Freedom Film Network. And you can go to newnarrative.com/events, and you will find our People's Hangout, which is New Narrative's virtual festival for June 2021. And you'll find the sign-up information there. And, you know, the information's also on our social media. So you can check us out on Facebook, on Instagram, and find all our virtual fundraiser events. But yeah, that should be a really fun one. And on the 25th, to close out our virtual festival, we have an unplugged session with Subhash Nair, who is an independent musician from Singapore, who'll be performing from his latest album, Tabula Rasa, Tabuli Rasa. So that's going to be a fun one as well.
Okay, excellent. So I guess we just need to follow New Narrative on your social media pages. You've got Twitter, you've got Facebook, Instagram as well, am I correct?
Yes, we've got the big three.
The big three. Okay. All right. And just head to newnarrative.com, of course. I guess before I let you guys go, you know, any last message that you'd like to leave our listeners with, you know, why they should support New Narrative, and you know, any other organization, I suppose, that is trying to provide these sorts of information, you know, without any strings attached, you know, why we should all support these sorts of organizations. PJ, why don't we start with you?
So I think it's important to remember, right, that we want to have good, reliable news through which we can understand the world, and the only way to do that is to actually fund it ourselves. nothing's free. You know, if something is free in this world, probably someone's getting exploited somewhere along the line, right? We live in this horribly neoliberal capitalist world where we have been asked or forced unwillingly to trade our information, our privacy, for other information, and we don't realize that actually we are being exploited. And New Narrative is trying to get away from that and create a media organization that is not just totally member funded, but more than a media organization that can empower you, empower your democracy, our democracy, to change Southeast Asia. So our fundraising is pretty straightforward. As Deborah said, three levels. The first level, 118,000. Everything stays the same as it is. The team is paid on average $1,000 a month. The editorial team is part-time, and we have a really small editorial budget of around $3,000 a month. But if we make it to 186,000, I can give everyone a raise and pay everyone a far more fair, sustainable living wage. The average salary will be 1,400. Editorial will be full-time, and we can put out so much more content, and our editorial budget will go up to 4,000 a month. But if we make it to 236,000, you know, then we could have it all. I could pay everyone what is actually a good market rate for their work, that is fair, that is sustainable. We could have good editorial outputs, expand the team, and I can support everyone with mental health, with therapy every month, and make this so much more sustainable. And what's more, at that level, we would not need donations and grants. We could actually be indefinitely sustainable on our own. So I urge everyone, please go to our website, newnarrative.com/join to join, newnarrative.com/donate to donate. Please do become a member of New Narrative. Join our movement for a better Southeast Asia.
Okay, and Deborah, how about you?
Well, I'd like to start with a fact. Juliet, do you know how many stateless people there are in Sabah?
I don't, actually.
There are 800,000 stateless people in Sabah. It's estimated there are 800,000 people who are stateless in Sabah, and that's the highest number of stateless people in Malaysia. And that's a fact from one of our latest stories about statelessness in Sabah. It follows the journey of one person who is stateless, who was born in Sabah and stateless, but it talks about the larger issue of statelessness and why it's so prevalent in Sabah. And I think that's a really good example of the kind of stories that we tell from Malaysia. We tell stories that aren't in the mainstream. We tell the stories of people who have been silenced and that who don't always get a chance to tell their stories. So I think that Malaysians, if you want to hear stories like that, if you want to learn things like that, we also covered the MA63 issue in comic form, and we published it in Bahasa Malaysia, in English, in Bahasa Iban, in Mandarin, and it's one of our most read comics, probably on the site ever. Our Bahasa Malaysia version of that was the top read article for several months. If you want to support content like that, that makes really important information accessible to people, you should support New Narrative.
Yeah. I think keyword there also is accessible, right? I mean, I love the fact that you're doing it in different languages. You know, you're trying to cater to everyone's different needs. And comics, you know, who doesn't love comics? So
we also, you know, talking about accessibility, we also recognize that $52 a year is not accessible to everyone. So actually, New Narrative has sponsored memberships where if you can't afford a membership, just write in to sponsorship@newnarrative.com and we'll give you a membership. And likewise, right, for our members who join us and pay at a higher rate than the lowest rate, so it's $52 a year, but if you join at $102 a year, the extra funds that you pay for your membership go to supporting people who can't afford the membership. So what we're trying to do is create a model where no one gets left behind, where anyone who wants access to this information can reach it, can learn, and can help, you know, can empower themselves and help make a better Southeast Asia. And, you know, we're trying to make New Narrative as accessible as possible to everyone, regardless of race, language, class, or religion. And I do hope everyone will join and be a part of our movement.
Yes, so definitely, you know, if everyone could just head to newnarrative.com, just search for the sponsorship pages there, follow them on social media and find out how you can become a member or support them, do that today. And don't forget the events that are coming up next week. I guess just follow you guys on social media for updates on that as well. Well, thank you so much, both of you for joining me today. I've been speaking to Dr. Thum Ping Jin. He's the founder and managing director of New Narrative, and Deborah Augustine, who's the membership engagement manager and also the Malaysia lead for New Narrative. And they've been sharing what New Narrative is all about and why you need to support them ASAP. And if you miss any part of today's interview or any previous Live and Learn interviews, just search for the podcast on the BFM app or at bfm.my/learn. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.